song title again?
Anda de lo lebi ele du mare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Yeah, check, check, check. Might be a little windy. It's windy out. In fact, I think there are storm warnings coming. It's a beautiful sunny day, but oh yeah, the water's moving fast. It's another glorious day in Bluffers Park. Boy, the way the seasons change here, I just love it. Going from winter and cold and rain and snow, and then you just get this incredible season of spring when the trees are just budding or the leaves are opening. Our Japanese maple out behind our house looks just beautiful. So leaves open up. Hey, I'm wearing my new pants. They fit. I don't know what happened to me. I don't think I'm sick and I haven't been dieting or anything. But I've lost about 2 inches around the waist. And all my pant sizes before, for some reason, were up to 42. And I had to make extra holes in the belts. And the pants are just, by the end, you know, you're out for an hour and your pants are just hanging down. I hate that. That's why our good buddy, the Barstool Buddha, went to suspenders. He's straight on. It's a whole new look. I posted pictures. It's pretty funny. Like, it was a new guy comes to town. He's like a confirmed official all-out suspender wearer now. And it looked good. It suited him. But I'm not ready for suspenders, but I went out. One thing, you know, you're constantly replacing these stupid little connectors, cables from your iPods, because they bend and they kink and then they plastic rips, and next thing you know, they're not working. They're not charging anymore. So I knew the place to go was Winners. They always have them a little cheaper than anywhere else. I could have had a 6 foot one for $17. I settled for a 3 foot one for $15 because I really didn't need a long cable, and I've already got a long cable. These are extras, you know, because I got an iPad and iPhone to charge. By the way, this bit is going to be a bit geeky. I guess on the light side of geeky. I mean, for real geeks, you think, what do you mean geeky? That's not geeky. But for me, okay? All right? It's going to be talking about stuff. Anyway, I got in there, and then I saw, oh, they got Bluetooth headphones. Well, that'd be fun. And the other thing that's gone is the earbuds I had with my Apple iPhone 5. I finally, you know how sort of one channel cuts out, and maybe if you just twist it and force it a certain way, you might get both channels in for a while, but you're back to one ear. And, oh, come on. It's not the way I want to listen to my good friend Jason. So I figured, oh, okay, why not pick up a pair? Except for the fact, I knew the iPod I use to listen to my podcast is not Bluetooth friendly. You know, hey, doesn't work with Bluetooth. It's an oldie. But I thought, well, you know, it's kind of neat. It was $29. It came with all the little extra rubber things and whatever's going to fit. Sports model things that'll look inside your ear. And, of course, a mic, and you can answer your phone that way. Well, I never talk on the phone. I never have my phone on listening to music. But still, I wanted to buy it. I was going to go on the Amex card. Anything I do with technology goes to the Amex card, which is my business card. And, of course, it's a legitimate business expense. Yes, thank you. So I bought them. And then the other idea was, okay, well, listen, when I'm doing this road trip up to Yellowknife, I don't know, I'm not going to be near a computer. I'm not going to be able to put together my regular 1 hour, you know, 3 or 4 clip Dixon Jane's episodes. I really should go back to Boss Jock and just record and send them up from the road. This would be perfect until I knew a voice was sort of saying, you know, there's something about Boss Jock and Bluetooth that ain't a good fit. And sure enough, you know, I tweeted in the back in the resurrected Slack, and Doug said, no, they don't work. And it's really annoying. Like, hey, come on, Boss Jock, why can't you do that? I don't know what's involved, but it shouldn't be that difficult to be able to accommodate Bluetooth, you know, mics and earbuds. But anyway, they worked fine once I got them fitted in my ear. And I was able to listen to CBC radio and then walk into the kitchen without my iPhone. I'm still listening to the music. Oh, that works. That's cool. So I like it. I could keep them. But the real thing I wanted it for was to work with Boss Chalk. And it's not going to work. So, I mean, you record, but you're recording not from that one. You're recording from the built-in mic. It's lousy quality. Well, it's good enough. Come on, I shouldn't say lousy quality. Lots of other people do it. Nobody complains. So, yeah, I could do that. But I wanted the playback to be able to be through my ears. So, you know, if Barnacle Bill's sitting beside me, he doesn't have to listen. I can hear what I said and decide if I want to send it off as a podcast or not. You know, once you've done the export or playback, and it just doesn't work. It just plays through the damn phone. So what are you going to do? Take out these earbuds and put in another set of earbuds? That's ridiculous. So I'm a little annoyed about that. That's, you know, that didn't work out so well. The cable's fine. The $15 cable's just fine. I'm recharging my iPad now. And anyway, while I was there, I said, oh, gee, they got men's pants. I always go to Mark's Warehouse to buy my pants and everything, you know. Pajamas, socks, underwear. It's never that cheap, but they're reasonable. You know, we're not talking high-end. Well, I mean, we're talking decent quality sometimes, but not. This is not a fashion store, right? It's Mark's Warehouse. Come on. Or maybe it's just called Mark's now. That's right. Owned by Canadian Tire, I think. But instead, I said, well, I'll just check the rack of menswear here in Winners. And sure enough, they had size 40 pants, and I'm wearing them now, and they're perfect. They're perfect for the summer. They're perfect. Kind of a brown, khaki color. You know, big pockets that button down on the side. Sort of like a summer. They don't fall down when I walk, okay? There, that's enough. That's all you need to know. That's all I need to know. I'm comfortable. I'm happy with them, all right? All in the same place. All in Winners. Bam! Put that on the MX, too. Thank you very much. I need a new pair of pants for work. Then, in the Canadian Tire, I figured, okay, I've called twice now. I've had to call CAA to jumpstart my road trek, you know, when I leave it for a while. And this is not going to be good when we're on the road, because, I mean, you get up towards, you know, northern Alberta, heading off into, you know, the Northwest Territories. There's not a whole lot of towns and service centers and so on. It's not like Toronto when my other car ran out of gas, and there's a guy there in 10 minutes. That ain't going to happen. So I figured, well, instead of cables, maybe you should look at a battery booster. And sure enough, they had them on sale. And it just happened that I had $150 left over from last year's summer tour in Canadian Tire cards. How handy is that? So here we are, 20 jump starts per charge. Safely jumpstart a dead battery in seconds. So it says for cars, trucks, motorcycles, ATVs, trucks, and more. And of course, it goes all the way up to big things like all the way up to a 6-liter engine, which would be my road trek. That's what you need, right? For engines up to 6 liters. So that's what you want with single battery systems. So it's terrific. It's got an ultra bright dual LED flashlight with 7 modes, including SOS and emergency strobe. It's NOCO Ultra Safe Spark Proof plus reverse, whatever that means, polarity protection. Oh, well, there you go. For 12-volt lead-acid batteries. Okay, that's all the stuff we got. Looking at the front, it looks very, very neat. It's also lighter and smaller than any other models. Yeah, 8 times lighter. 8 times smaller, holds a charge 4 times longer. Well, Jesus, how could I not get that back? I mean, buy that. You know, it was $139. You know, off, I don't know, maybe it was $120. Anyway, it was at least $30 off. So there we go. It's I'm very happy about that. Never used it. Still in the box. I'm just looking at it. Yeah, also, it's got a USB connector so that you can charge virtually any USB device, including smartphones and tablets. Thank you very much. So that's great. Isn't that a good thing to buy for my road trek? Yes, it is. Thank you very much. That's all. All right. Last podcast, I ended on kind of a sad note. Of course, the passing of Kent. I since was sent a link for the, I guess, what the newspaper had put out about him. And it all came down to he was just a gentle soul, which he was. It was a really nice description of him. And he always, from his entire career, going back when he started at UBC, as a reporter, and then got his job at the province. Always stuck up for the little guy. So he did the sports and the city beat and other stories. He was very interested in the Vancouver Bruins, I believe, a hockey team. I think he might have even, I don't know if he had written a book on them or was going to, I can't remember. But just a super nice guy, and you know, it's not as common as it sounds. You know, people can just toss this off. Well, he's a really nice guy. But Kent really was a very, very decent man. Somebody I'm glad to have known. And anyway, I'm not going to go on about that. And of course, most of my listeners, and none of my listeners would have known him. And it's hard to feel a connection. I'm drinking a $1 medium-sized vanilla iced coffee from the McCafe. It's great. The season started again. They had all these other fancier ones, you know. And I said, you got $1 iced coffees? Yep, I'm expecting just a little one. What flavor do you want? Oh, I'll take a vanilla, thank you. And the amount of it up, it was $1.05 for a medium-sized vanilla iced coffee. It's delicious. And that's what brought me down here to talk to you again, even though I just released a podcast yesterday. And here we are 11 minutes into a new one. But I needed to share that stuff. I needed to unload a little bit more. I'm kind of excited. It felt like such a productive morning. I go, wow, I got so much done. But it's just trailed off after that. There's stuff I probably should do with regards to work out. And tomorrow I gotta see the dentist. They keep calling to remind me of that possible root canal. I'm nothing, at least a cap, but they're gonna give me a pill before, which is gonna calm me down, and that'll help. So anyway, that's it. I'm gonna stop there. I hope you've been enjoying the music I've been playing. I've got you. If I had it here, I'm going to just put it on the background because it's just so good. Well, come on. What's the matter with you there? Oh, I don't have the ignition on. Hey. I don't need all that noise. I just want you to play the damn music. What's going on? Why isn't it working? Oh, there we go. Many of my listeners could identify that by song. We were teasing, I was teasing the Closet Geek when we were at The Only the other day, and they put on Dave Brubeck's Take Five, and he couldn't identify it. He may have got the group, and I wouldn't have expected him to get the song. I mean, I grew up because I had a high school friend who loved Brubeck and, you know, trained us in listening to Brubeck and other stuff. But I wonder how many people would know who this was and who's the listener. Anybody? I'm almost thinking Anthony might. I'm almost thinking Dave Brubeck might. Just via his dad. My dad, certainly. This was his music. This wasn't his, Dave's dad's music. He's much younger than me. But all right. It's Glenn Miller, In the Mood. Thank you. It's great, great, great stuff. It's sad. It's very sad that that whole era of big band music just died, you know. It just became economically unfeasible, I guess, to keep going, to move a band around from hotel to hotel. Just the times had changed, and then rock and roll kind of wiped it off the face of the earth. Well, I mean, there was a period in between there, but It just, this is something of its time. But man, I love this swing business. Does this make you feel good? It just makes you feel good. Makes me feel good. Put you in the mood. Come on back. Come on. Ah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Swing it, baby. They didn't say that. Okay. One more time. Oh, yeah. We're back. And you're picturing them, each musician. You know, they weren't getting paid a whole lot of money. But they're musicians. That's what they did, you know? Tough, 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 tough life. Bye-bye.
Hey, what kind of beat is that? Man, that really spins my hat. Doesn't sound like boogie woogie, 'cause it's really got a beat. Seems to us that it's in four. Let us hear it just once more. Come on and latch on to that rhythm, because a solid four's my meat. Some folks like to hear eight-beat rhythm. I don't go for that stuff no more. Anytime you really want to send me, bounce me, brother, with a solid four. Come on in, the whole place is jumping. Everybody's out on the floor. If you want to keep the rhythm pumping, bounce me, brother, with a solid four. The boogie woogie was never like this. We got a new beat that no one can miss. If boogie woogie sent you like I think it did, order the bar, we'll flip your lid. Move the tables and roll the rug up. Shut the windows and lock the door. While I try to dig the little brown jug up, bounce me, brother, with a solid four. Boogie woogie sent you like I think it did. Order the bar, we'll flip your lid. Move the tables and roll the rug up. Shut the windows and lock the door. While I try to dig the little brown jug up, bounce me, brother, with a solid four.
Check, check. This is going to be a very short clip. This is the before, and of course, it will be followed by an after. The before is before going into the dentist. I'm sitting in my car now, just outside the Scarborough Town Center, where my dentist is. And I've got to have at least just a crown put on, which isn't the bad problem. Although I'll have to rip off the old one. Or, at worst, a root canal and a crown. I won't know till I get in there. And, you know, from this podcast, my anxieties, my fears. And I've tried to understand it so much. Like, where did it really come from? Why just a dentist? Never a doctor. It never bothers me. But, I mean, I know a lot of people have it. It's just, oh, my God, the potential for pain. And so you think, well, I guess that's it. But for me, it's complicated by the fact that I am a mouth breather. And so as soon as they start putting things in your mouth, you can't. There's the panic. I'm not going to be able to breathe. I can't swallow. I can't get air. And that just scares the shit out of you. I mean, I would not last at waterboarding. I've said this before. Like, okay, hey, well, I'll tell you everything. I'll make up stuff. Just don't gag me. Don't put something in my mouth if you're kidnapping me. I won't. I promise I won't scream. And it's... So that's a huge part of it. They just... You know, the drowning feeling, or, you know, I can't breathe, I can't get air. And the last time I actually saw him for treatment was when I lost it in the chair. This is when I really reached a breakdown, and I cried. It wasn't a crying for what's happening here. It was all the other things that I've been holding back and not letting go of. It all came out in front of Dr. Kamandra. He's a very compassionate man, and I talked about that, I think, a couple of years ago, maybe. And he talked me down and got us in sync and just brought it back. And I think it was that day or that night or the next day I had this, is it a TIA or TA, you know, a mini stroke kind of thing. It was all tied to that. My blood pressure just shot up in the dentist chair. And by the next day I was seeing double and had to go to emergency. So, of course, I'm feeling that kind of anxiety now, and I want to calm myself down. I thought maybe if I talk to you for a couple of minutes before going in, that this would bring me some calmness. Now, they're going to give me a little pill put under your tongue, and you just, you know, it mellows you out a little bit. It's not a painkiller, and of course, he'll give the injections, and he knows how to do that, and it doesn't hurt. It's just this whole thing. And I've told you before, it takes me to the dark place. It takes me to, I don't know why I keep saying South American prisons. It could be anywhere, but places where people torture you, capture you, and inflict pain for whatever reasons the authorities have. And I go there, and I go back to Nazi Germany, and I just go to places I don't want to go to, and it gets dark. It gets really dark. Somebody could really be hurting me right now, and somebody is hurting somebody else right now. And oh my God, I don't know. Maybe this is making it worse. Maybe I'm just psyching myself up. Maybe this is a dumb idea. I just gotta take some deep breaths. Yeah, I am getting really psyched up. I feel it. You know, my blood pressure's probably jumped already. Damn it. So I'll go in. I'll read a little bit, I'll try and calm myself down, and then when I come out, I'll talk to you, and I'm sure I'll be saying, that wasn't so bad, it was okay, I'm all right, I don't know why I was so excited. You know, that's what I'm hoping I'll be saying, and I probably will be. Scabbard Dude, yours truly, with truly original material. Every word is different, every podcast. Well, not every word. I use the same words repeatedly, but the order, the word order, is continually changing. You've noticed that, haven't you? I hope so. Bye for now. Or now for bye, you know? Okay, it's just over 2 hours later, and this is part B, or the after. Oh, I'm in Thompson Park. I'm feeling a little stoned. Stoned, I guess, in terms of relaxed. And numb, I don't know if numb is the word, but tuned out. Nothing is really going to bother me. I'm not faking this. I mean, I could play a game and fake it and pretend I'm not all crazy, but what would the point of that be? And that's not how I'm feeling at all. He gave me grounded up. And he said, last time, did we give you 1.5 or 1? And I think I answered, I think I can handle the 1. I can't remember, but I think I can handle the 1. And so they ground it up, put it under your tongue, and it goes into the bloodstream, and you just feel a little bit more relaxed. Now, I still had, you know, I had to put my hand up several times just when I felt I couldn't breathe or gagging. It was a surreal experience, but also overall a very pleasant experience. Pleasant because I like Dr. Kamandra so much. He's a brilliant man. And you can talk science, philosophy, you can talk anything with him. And he's always reading stuff, and he'll just engage in very real conversation. And then I asked him about technology, and he went on about, the things that they've got, how he's, you know, the new equipment and so on that they're working with, which is, you know, he said stem cell is the way to go, but we're just not there yet, but we do. We have a blood spinner, and we do this and that, and how they build up bone, and, like, he's just into it, and he's always smiling. He is one of those very gifted people. He's a very special person, and I feel lucky to have him in my life as my dentist. I'm very, very fortunate to have Virginia as my accountant. And, of course, my wife. Sons. The brother and sister I have. There's just so many. And then, of course, the friends, old and new. So many good people in my life that just make it so much more interesting, rewarding. But let's get back to the dentist. He just had to get the crown taken out and then work on a tooth a little bit where there might have been a exposed root, and was able to polish it up and have enough done for today. And then the rest of the time I just spent making a temporary fitting, which I'm wearing right now. Can I see? No, I can't even tell where it is. And then I'll go back next week and they'll replace it with the proper way. Makes you a little sleepy. I dozed off quite a few times while we were waiting for this or for that. I just got into dreamland. Actually, little weird little dreams. And that was fine. So, yeah, I probably do sound a little bit different, a little bit certainly not focused, and just tired, relaxed. I just want to maybe have a little nap now. They suggested I didn't drive right away. I was a little stumbly when I was getting up, too. But now I think I'm just going to tilt the seat back and sit in here in Thompson Park and enjoy myself. And maybe I'll listen. I got some cat stuff to listen to with my new earbuds on my iPhone, the Bluetooth ones. So that's what we're going to do. So I felt I'd promised I was going to do the two parts together, and here they are, A and B. And no pain whatsoever involved. There never is. He's just so, so good, so adept at what he's doing, so skilled. And training others while he's doing my stuff. His daughter is a dentist, very young, very attractive lady. And where was I going to end with that? Oh, it was just, yeah, overall a pleasant experience, nothing at all. I didn't get into the dark places. I did, choke a couple of bit times, had to hold my hand up. Okay, all right. But nothing at all. It was awful. So that's it. That's all I got to say. That's the only topic. I'm going to go now, listen to some music, and do something else or a podcast or whatever I said I'd do. Bye for now.
What's the matter with you, boy? Don't you know I got a right to sing the blues? Listen at this. Look out. One, two.
Yeah. I got a right to sing the blues. I got a right to feel low down. I've got a right to hang around down among the river. A certain gal in this old town keeps dragging my poor heart around. Babe, all I see from me in misery. Oh, I got a right to moan and sigh, but I got a right to sit and cry down among the river. Oh, babe, I know the deep blue sea will soon be calling me. It must be love, say what you choose. I got a right to sing the blues.
Chick. Oh, welcome back from wherever I was. I mean, these clips get so spaced out that I can never remember what have I told you already and what haven't I. And but then, if I'm forgetting, I'm pretty sure you're forgetting too. So, you know, hey, bear with me. It's a very wet Sunday afternoons, 4 o'clock, May, whatever, 21st, somewhere around there, 22nd. Boy, in just a few days, we'll be driving this baby down to Kingston. I'm sitting in the front seat of the Rolls Royce, got the engine running just to warm things up a bit. And, you know, I'm starting it up every day just so that battery doesn't go dead. Although I don't know if I told you or not, a very, very nifty battery charge. Yeah, I probably did. You know, sometimes I can't remember. Gee, did I just tweet that or was that an actual recording? But whatever the case, lots to say. I'm in a very, 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 very good place. And it's a funny thing because I think I'm just very happy because for some reason, I don't exactly understand why, but my son is visiting from Vancouver. Now, you know, it was only just a few weeks ago I was out in Vancouver visiting with him. And he's here now. He's leaving Thursday. At the same time, Adam flies in from Vancouver. But it's just really been nice. I think I mentioned he went off to a concert with Number Two's son, and they just had a blast. And to hear them, we had a sushi dinner last night, I guess, just sitting around the dining table, which we rarely do, and talked, and, you know, we had them talk a lot about the bands and what it was like, and, you know, a little bit of arguing back and forth. Just, it felt good. It felt good to be together as a family. And yesterday, Well, it's just an amazing day. I've been bit by bit by bit, so slowly, growing into this road track, as I said I would, and that's the only approach for me. I listened to somebody at church today talking about putting his trailer up on, lifts while he was camping and greasing the bearings on the wheels. And I said, that's just something you do. And I'm thinking, no, that's not something I do. There's just so little in terms of looking after this thing. I'm supposed to have slid out the batteries and check the water levels and so on, but I think that's with heavy use, and it's not at heavy use. But anyway, slowly, I'm getting to do more. So this weekend, I filled both the water tanks, or partially filled them anyway. There's an inside and an outside. One fills up through the front door, one fills up through the back door. But the biggest problem was trying to get the wheel down. I couldn't remember how to do it. The guy showed me, but I never did it myself. The rear wheel down, the spare Continental on the back, get it level so you can open the driver's side rear door and get at all the storage space underneath the sofa or folding bed. So I told my sons, look at this, examine this, and we sort of finally realized, okay, yeah, here's the logic of it. You got to get that pin out. There's a pin that's holding it in place. You got to get that pin out. There's a ring. Well, what do you do about that sort of ring that seems to be a locking mechanism? Well, I guess you got to move that ring first somehow, and then you can pull the pin out. Anyway, couldn't get it to happen, so yesterday I got number one son. I said, look, I need some help here. I really want to get this wheel down. And that pin just wouldn't seem to budge. We got the lock off. The pin just wouldn't move. So we ended up with a hammer. A hammer should be the tool of last resort, but it wasn't. And we just, I had realized maybe I've bent it. I thought I'd maybe done some damage. I'd backed this road trek up into something, maybe hit a brick wall. The retaining pin was pressed tight where it should have been loose. Okay, so maybe I've even bent that pin and that's why it won't come out. So anyway, we got a hammer at it, and it's coming, and then it just gets stuck. The very last part, it won't come. And then number two son comes in and says, what the hell are you doing? There's a bolt here. You got to loosen that bolt. And we see there's a bolt in the back, and he gets a wrench. We go through our set of wrenches, and he loosens it up, and oh, whoa, what do you know? That pin is just sliding through nicely right now. So it was a three-way effort, me sort of giving directions, but the two sons working together. And I think it's forever engraved in my mind as a picture of the three of us together at the back of the road trek solving a problem. And sure enough, the pin comes out, the wheel goes down, the door opens, I empty the entire storage area in the back. I find going to the garage and get the new propane stove that the owners of this road trek sold me to go with it. Number two son says, I'll take that out back. How about if I just test it out for you? And sure enough, he gets it out back and fires it up, attaches the propane and the regulator. And oh, man, so many things are happening. And that was just one major step. But it felt so good that it was with the involvement of both my sons. It just was truly heartwarming. And it wasn't that it was all smiles. I mean, there was even arguing back and forth. But it was something we did together. It just was really, really special. And I feel so happy about that. And I mentioned it in church today when they asked, anybody have any celebrations, anything they want to share? And I shared how nice it was even to have my sons back and having them go out to a bar to hear some Japanese bands and come home hungover. And I said, I know that's bad parenting, but it was just nice to see them getting along. And after church, a couple of the people picked up on a couple of the guys, Walter and Art. People I really like at the church. There's just so many people that I really enjoy talking to. It's been a wonderful thing. And I think just everything, the time I just spent with my cat, Yuki, and I realized yesterday marked 2 years since she left us. She arrived, she was here for a week, and then she disappeared for 10 days. And oh my God. And she came back, and I had that post from Facebook, my cat's gone. I guess that was it. And who knows what happened. And now she's with us and in just such fine shape and so healthy. And we have the stray coming back, and my wife seems very attached to the stray. Doesn't want to take it in, doesn't want another cat, but we want to look after it and feed it, and she's put a little bed out for it outside, and it's still afraid of humans, but it's coming around, and there's just so many things I'm happy about. That sushi dinner last night, the fact that today when I came home, I asked my wife, you know, do you think you can give me a haircut before I go to Kingston? And okay, and she does just an amazing job. I'm in the kitchen, you know, t-shirt off. She's got an apron. She's got the actual shearing set, you know, a proper haircut thingamajig that's plugged in, and does a very nice job, and it just feels good just sitting there feeling that bzzz, unlike the dentist. That was so nice. And then asked me if I wanted some. This is homemade. Well, the noodles are bought, store bought, but they're fresh. Soba with tempura soba, and she had mixed up shrimp and other stuff and made this, you know, deep fried these wonderful tempura chunks and put that in this fresh, wonderful soba soup, and gave me that and a cup of wonderful Japanese tea. Everything is just so wonderful. And that's what I want to talk about. Because sometimes I'm reluctant to share that. And I've got a little quote here from church today. I went to church. Now, Greta wasn't back. I thought she'd be back today. I tried to convince my son to go. He says, no way. I'm not going. The last place I want to be is a damn church. So anyway, okay, all right. Turned out Greta wasn't there. But it turned into a very, very good session anyway, because they put on a TED Talk by, I had to write her name down. She was so good. And it was about vulnerability. Vulnerability. And that was a theme for today. And boy, it resonated. It really was an excellent talk. What's her name here? Bern Brown. And she's done quite a few. Or Bernie Brown, I guess. Bernie Brown. B-E-R-N-E. Anyway. I'll give you some notes about that after. But on the church handout, they give you sort of the announcements every week. The quote on the front was, I am struck by how sharing our weaknesses and difficulties is more nourishing to others than sharing our qualities and successes, by Canadian Jean Vanier. I'm struck by how sharing our weaknesses and difficulties is more nourishing to others than sharing our qualities and successes. And I thought, you know, that's something I feel I've tried to do on the Dixon James podcast. And I think it is the thing that resonates. When I'm down on myself, angry at myself, I've done something stupid, I don't understand this or whatever, I think people connect more and thank me for my honesty, my vulnerability. That's what resonates. And that's what the talk was about today. And I'm saying that because Friday night I was in this road trek. I had a little glass of white wine. And I was feeling just so good about everything. And I think it's, again, because, you know, my son was here. The boys were getting along. Maybe that's the night they'd gone out downtown. And, yeah, that was it. And I felt wonderful. And I sat here and I thought, oh, like a reaction, I guess I have to tell people. And then another voice saying, hey, no, if you're really feeling good, you don't have to tell anybody anything. Because maybe that just sounds like showing off. It's like people posting pictures of their wonderful holiday on Facebook. And you're thinking, well, I hope they get diarrhea and shit their pants. You know, you're not really saying that, but you're just, okay, I've had enough of your happy times. And we all do it. We all want recognition. We all want people to, you know, care. But we know that, hey, people get tired of that, you know, and it is true. And trouble is, the reverse is also doesn't work. Like when you're always down and complaining about something, you know, people don't want to hear that. We lose sympathy. We don't care anymore. Right, that's your problem. Enough of your damn problems. It's very hard to find that, the balance. And it is about just being human. Now, this lady was a social study. I know I'm rambling. I know I'm I'm jumping around, but it does pull together. It does tie together. So Friday night, I just said, no, Ken, just stay here. Savor the moment. You're just lying here in the back of the road truck. You're feeling good. That's enough. You don't have to share it. And last night, the same thing happened. It was over dinner. I was in here. I was in the back. It's a wonderful place for me to come and listen to podcasts. And I was just feeling great. Just great. And wanted to share it. And then that same voice, no, you don't have to share that. Share something else. Share it another time. Share it after it's over. But right now, while you're feeling so good about everything that... It's like right now in my life, I have everything I need. Everything I want. I have it. And that's a wonderful feeling. But is that something people want to hear? Does it not sound like bragging? Hey, look at me. I got it all. I don't want it to come across that way. But of course, there's been many times in my life when I haven't felt that way at all. And so, are you allowed to share that? Is it okay to express that? I mean, that's the thing. And that's why it was so funny today when the first thing I saw, because I mean, I went through this, I had this whole thing going through my mind, and then the first thing I see today on the handout was, it's when we share our weaknesses and our difficulties that other people pay attention and get more from it. So, anyway, I'm glad I didn't say anything Friday. I'm glad I didn't say anything Sunday or Saturday. But here I am, almost bursting at the seams with this joy and happiness. And I guess, I don't know, we'll leave it there. The thing they played today, because Greta wasn't here, and they thought, well, we'll just put up a TED Talk. And it was this very one. See, on the front it says her name is Breen Brown, B-R-E-N-E. I don't know what it is for sure, but she was a social worker, and she believed, you know, she had her own struggles, and she did a lot of study and research on, I guess, well, it came down to the topic of vulnerability and how important it is. People who have love and belonging, I guess, yeah, it was about how are people satisfied, content in their life, you know, as opposed to those who are just never get it right and they're always struggling. What's the difference? She wanted to measure. What is it that makes some people, she didn't use the word successful, but feel good about themselves? And people who have love and a sense of belonging, and these are human needs. We need these things. We need to belong. It's just a basic human need, are people who believe they are worthy of it. And if you do not believe you're worthy of it, you won't have it. And that's what her 6 years of research came down to. And I thought that was a really interesting point, because so many of us, and I know I struggle with this a lot, of just not feeling worthy. That, no, you know, and I do beat up on myself a lot. You've heard that. You may do it yourself, but you have to truly believe you are worthy, and then you will have the things that you need. And I know I'm not there yet. I'm still working on that, but at least having that awareness of how it works, having that understanding, seems like a big step to make. To be wholehearted and to live wholeheartedly is really important with all yourself. Taking the element of risk, you need a certain courage. You need courage to tell the story of who you are with your whole heart. Now, I just made a few notes while the video was playing, so they may be a little disjointed, but you need courage to tell the story of who you are with your whole heart. It takes courage. It takes courage to be who you are, but to also tell the story, to express yourself. And again, I guess it takes that self-love. Let go of who you think you should be who you are. Let go of who you think you should be who you truly are. Well, that makes sense. And I guess that's probably doesn't need much more explanation. I think it's a good line. Fully embrace vulnerability. Fully embrace it. Okay. Fully embraced. Oh, there was an explanation about shame. Shame was the thing that caused a problem. Now, I didn't really pick up on it entirely. And again, it came back. And if you may remember, when I was visiting my good friend Kenneth in Atlanta, he mentioned that's what prick represented, was shame. And I think I misunderstood. I didn't quite get it. I was interested. That's very interesting. But I don't think I knew what he meant by shame. And then it came up today. Shame was like how she started off this talk. It was a central point of the shame we feel. And the shame, I guess, means feeling unworthy. Shame about who we are, feeling unworthy. And I thought, okay. So there is shame. And yet I didn't get it. I'll have to watch this again or read some of her works or something else. But maybe you might know something about that. But just think of the word shame and maybe figure out how you can define it. Oh, my God, we're going on for 18 minutes. Vulnerability is the core of shame. It's the core. Tenderness is important. We numb vulnerability. We don't want to. And she said, if you do that, if you numb your emotions and things are just, you know, right, you got bad news, something's going on, and you try and numb out the bad news, then you are numbing out all your emotions. You can't selectively numb emotions. That was it. You can't selectively numb your feelings. I just want to get rid of the bad feelings. I just want to feel the good feelings. You can't do it. It's all or nothing. And that's the vulnerability. You've got to really go wholeheartedly and risk feeling, you know, the ups and the downs, the goods and the bads, the painful and the joyous. All right. We make uncertain. Okay, we struggle. No. We blame children, or we blame others for, you know, our problems. Yeah, okay. Children are hardwired for struggle, so don't baby the children, but just give them the love and that sense of belonging. That's what they need. We pretend what we do does not have an impact on others, and everything we do does impact others. Let ourselves be seen, love wholeheartedly, practice gratitude and joy. I've mentioned that many, many times on this podcast. And believe that we are enough. We are worthy. We are enough just in who we are. It's enough. Don't be so judgmental. Don't think you have to be something better. Okay, so this is the final tie-in. Back to Facebook, and I find so many posts, myself included, and it's the same for putting up podcasts, we want that recognition. You put up a picture, you put up a quote, you put up a joke, you put up something, and you want those likes. It's like the chimpanzee or the rat at the bar. You know, give me another pellet. You know, just keep hitting that bar. And we're looking for those. I mean, I count when I posted the picture of my wife that I had taken thanking her on Mother's Day, you know, and I watched those likes climb past 50. Oh, my God, I'm feeling good. And we've talked about this before, and you're aware of it, because I'm sure some of you are out there with the same feeling. Yeah, I want that recognition. I need that, what's the word for it? And it's funny, this is the same word I've had and lost so many times in the past. The word that means, well, the sort of feeling worthy through recognition and acceptance by others. And the whole point, and it's the point of me not recording Friday and Saturday, was that it should be enough. We should be satisfied within ourselves that we don't need others to make us feel whole and complete and worthy. We do, but we shouldn't. And it's a trap when you rely on others to get that, because sometimes you won't get it. I didn't like that picture. No, I didn't think that was very funny. You know, and then, oh my God, we're less worthy. You got to have that trust in yourself. You got to love yourself. And I know that's so hard. But anyway, I've got 22 minutes. That's I'm going to have to stop there. But I hope there was something in there that made sense to you. Because it did to me. I don't know if it does now, but it did then. And now I'm going to go back and I'm going to recline the sofa a little bit. It's all sitting straight up now. It's so neatly packed. I'm just so happy that this road trek is ready for the road trip. I even called the hotel today. Yes, parking $17 a night to make sure I got a spot in that parking lot. And I'm looking forward to having some cold beer in the fridge and maybe having a friend or two come up and just sit and have a beer in Sally here and just share some fun and some good times. There I am. See, I'm looking for that reassurance. I'm looking for that. Yeah, I want people to want the Scarborough, want to be with the Scarborough dude and like him. Damn it. It's ever a hard thing to shake. I mean, I'm not totally dependent on it. I can be quite happy on my own. Thank you very much. But it'd be pretty miserable if I was sitting in the road track all by myself, drinking beer when everybody else was out in the bar talking and sharing and having fun and sharing laughter and joy. All right. Yours truly, your friend, a guy who's trying to figure out life and share whatever I learned along the way with you, my faithful listeners. Scarborough Dude, signing off.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear what they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind.
Is it rolling, Bob? Oh, yeah. Listen, I've only got 5 minutes left, and I want to have a quick word about cultural appropriation. This is a buzzword that you've all heard about. It's all over the internet now. And I'm going to, you know, hopefully maybe with Brent do an episode on Gappage and maybe try and explore it, because I'm not even sure where I stand on this whole thing. But I did want to point out, I included, if you've listened right up till now, You would have heard a song by the McGuire Sisters. And that, to me, is an example of cultural appropriation in the music field. They are so white. I grew up with them. We had 78s of theirs I used to play in the basement, you know, Sugar Time and other things. But the song I just played for you does not sound at all like a song that these lily white ladies would have come up with. They did. It's not theirs. It's taken over. But it really belongs, you'd think, to me, to the Negroes. I'm saying that because I'm going back to those days, you know, before they were called blacks. Like, that's not their music. But they've taken that song because that's what the white folk wanted to hear on the radio or see in their band presentations. They wanted white singers. And so you can see, whoa, that ain't right. But that's the way it is. And then just prior, you would have heard a song by, I was going to say Cab Calloway, but Louis Armstrong. And that's a song that he can lay claim to, being a black musician and singing about the blues. Okay, so that's all. I mean, I'm not making a big point here. I just wanted to put these out there as examples. And then, what you're probably going to be hearing right under this as I talk is a song that we all know from the movie Midnight Cowboy. I think I got that right. That Louis is singing. And nobody would ever say, well, wait a minute, that's a white song, why is this black guy doing it? Because that's not an issue of cultural appropriation. Hey, that's just a song. There's a very neat, if you Google it, you'll find a neat history about, you know, who wrote it and when and how it became a hit and so on. But, like, that's not a problem. You can't say, well, why is that black guy singing that white song? And because you couldn't call it a white song. So, but you can with the blues, if it's real blues. You can call it, well, wait a minute, that's black music. I don't know. I'm not trying to stir anything up here. I'm certainly not trying to sound stupid, although maybe I really do. I know that there are other folks out there who will have more clear and concise answers and, you know, more correct points of view, perhaps. I'm just tossing it out there to say I'm aware of it. I think it's an interesting discussion. Oh, man, there is so much more to say. But these really are times that we're living in of people just ready to jump on each other. I was just following a thread on Facebook about the priest, Brent, I can't remember his name, who's been an advocate for the longest time for gay rights and has been recognized and, you know, received an honor from the Canadian government or whoever, the Governor General, for his work. And this year, they always have a church service, and it's a lot of people saying, well, yeah, but it's just for the older white people, and whatever, they lost their place because of condo construction or something, and this article says, hey, this group who is now in control of Pride Toronto, which is a very, very big event here, and you've heard about that, again, because of we don't want police in it this year, not in their uniforms anyway. And now there's a big fuss that they're not going to be able to have their usual prayer service in a central position where everybody can easily get to, and particularly the older people who are in motorized wheelchairs or whatever. And the argument is, well, they don't care. The young people doing this care about the fact that they have 61 DJs playing all over the place and they all need special spaces. But the fact that a few people are still Christian or going to a church and want a church service as a central part of Pride Toronto, as it's always been up until this year, and now it's got to be moved. They're just making a fuss and crying discrimination. So there's just so many areas. And I guess the only thing that people can do is, instead of, you know, digging in and holding a firm position, is being open to dialogue and trying to explain and trying to understand. And that just seems very, very difficult for a lot of people to do. And maybe even myself included, because I'm feeling, as a white person, under attack. I just watched a movie on Admiral Nelson and the heroics of Great Britain, and that is my ancestry, and I'm, you know, proud of it, and I'm proud of some of the things that other nations and people of other nationalities would say, this is those disgusting British, look what they did to us. So there's no easy answers. It's just, yay, we gotta move on, we gotta move towards the future, we gotta learn to get along. Okay, that's all. God, what a lousy ending. Anyway, that's it. I'll be back. Thanks for listening, as always. Oh, we've gone over. Damn it. Scarborough Dude. Signing out. And hope you had a great Victoria Day weekend here in Canada. Bye for now.